All right, Alexander, we have to talk about big tech and the recent news that big tech platforms, and when I mean big tech platforms, I'm talking about everything from Facebook to Google to Twitter and Snapchat, PayPal, a payment service provider, Reddit, LinkedIn. I mean, we're talking about all the big tech ecosystem in Silicon Valley that they are building. They say they're building a common database where they're going to flag people who are considered to be extremists or white, you know what. Everyone knows what I mean when I say the word white, you know what. That's their baseline right now. Obviously, we can all see what a slippery slope this is. We can also see how there's a lot of legal issues with this. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of court cases coming out in and around this. I also think this shows without a shadow of a doubt that you're dealing with a cartel, a very large, powerful cartel. The fact they're going to be sharing information. On a personal note, when I sign up to a site, I expect that my information on that site is not going to be shared across different databases, but obviously that's not going to be the case anymore. And finally, all of this follows a statement from Jen Psaki just 10 days ago, 12 days ago, where she said that, and I'm going to paraphrase, she said, "I believe that if you are punished on one big tech platform, then you should be punished across all big tech platforms." Sure enough, 10, 11, 12 days later, here you are. I just want to make one quick point. The fact that they're saying they're preparing this database obviously means that they've already had it prepared and it's already been done. Anyway, a lot of implications here from illegal, human rights, cartel, monopoly, antitrust. Just get into this story. Scary, scary stuff.
Absolutely. This is entirely right. And of course, you've honed in on what is the actually critical point about this, which is the fact that there's going to be a single database. I mean, that is astonishing. I mean, in what other world of business activity do you have shared databases in which people's information is set out in this kind of way and which are used for this sort of purpose? I mean, this is extraordinary things. It's essentially, I mean, it is a massive step towards Chinese-style scores, credit scores, social credit scores. In fact, I mean, it's so similar to what goes on in China that I don't really see that there's a distinction in anymore in this. And it's going to be secret. And the fact that it's going to be private makes it even more dangerous. And I say private, I mean that private in two ways. Firstly, it's going to be private because, of course, people who are on this database will presumably not be informed of that and will presumably not be able to access it. And remember that they won't have the right to access it as they would have if it was a public database. So, I mean, you know, you can't make Freedom of Information Act requests, for example, to see what is in a private database, because that's information that's held about you privately, or at least that I suspect will be the rationalization of all of this. That's one thing. And the second is, of course, that if information about you is being shared in this kind of way by private actors, then you have no conceivable mechanism, not just to find out about it, but to, in fact, act to take legal steps about it in the same way that you would if it was a public database. So, for example, if you found that there was information held about you by the government, the US government, you could, at least in theory, do something about it. It'd be much more difficult to do something about this particular database. And what you are also seeing are two of the very points that you made. You see all of the various parts of Silicon Valley, as you rightly say, coming together and working together to operate this thing. And by the way, you're absolutely right. I am sure that this already exists. In fact, it's existed for some time. It goes back to at least 2016, I suspect, when they started to set it up, perhaps even before, but certainly to 2016. I mean, all you had to do was to look at what was happening to see that this was the case. So this is all going to operate together. It's a group of powerful entities coming together to control the social media environment in a way that quite clearly amounts to an abuse of a monopoly by a cartel. There is no other way to describe this. I mean, this is a clear attack also on freedom of speech, on ability to conduct your business, and it's going to be all kinds of people working together in order to block others. And of course, and this is the last point, but it's also a very important one, you see, Jen Psaki using all that very careful language, I believe that social media should do X, Y, Z, I believe, which is always the get out clause. But of course, it looks increasingly like a green light or an instruction, if you prefer. The First Amendment of the Constitution says that Congress shall not pass any law that will restrict the freedom of the press. And the press in the United States is carefully not defined in order to protect free speech rights. But you see that they're trying to get round the First Amendment by using what they call private companies, this cartel of monopolies, to do it for them. So this is extraordinarily dangerous. It is extraordinarily dangerous at multiple levels. My own personal view is that it's illegal. I don't think you should be allowed to get round the First Amendment in that kind of way. I certainly don't think that you should operate a cartel in that kind of way. I think it's a massive breach of people's privacy rights, which do exist in the United States, as they, of course, also do in Europe, to hold secret private information about people in this manner. And, of course, it's got all sorts of due process implications which are just off the scale. So I think it's illegal. I think it's wrong. I think it's very dangerous. But the fact is, it's happening.
Yeah, the other dangerous part about this is that this doesn't only encompass being deplatformed or shut down online on social media applications or sort of social media sites and forums and stuff like that. There's also the factor that you're plugging in a payment service provider like PayPal, and that PayPal came out with an announcement that they're going to be working with the ADL, an NGO, a third party, in order to help to assist them to flag this type of profile of a person and these types of posts. So you're getting into all kinds of very murky waters here, where you could possibly have your right to earn an income, your right as a business to make revenue, your right to process transactions. Absolutely. Because of something that a nonprofit flagged as perhaps extremist in some nature, in which case you don't really understand what the definitions are either. I mean, this is completely very murky, very dangerous territory. My two comments and questions to you are, if this goes through, then without a doubt, the First Amendment is over in the United States, finished. So I don't know what that means for a United States of America. What does that mean for a United States of America without the First Amendment? And my second question is, where are the Republicans? Where are the Libertarians in Congress? Where are these people?
Well, let's deal with the first thing. I entirely agree. I mean, this is a massive attack on the First Amendment, and people who try and argue otherwise, I mean, don't believe them. This is the first thing I'm going to say, because as far as I can see, it cannot be interpreted in any other way. The argument that you see now being constantly used and which people fall back on is that you have a right to free speech, but you don't have a right to a platform. Now, let's just unpack that. And I want to deal with that particular point because I've seen liberal and left-wing journalists make it. I mean, if you went to the Soviet Union in 1980, you could have gone around and you could have met all kinds of people. And I know this for a fact because, well, especially my father used to travel there and other people I used to know would travel there. You could actually go and you could meet people privately and they could be very outspoken. They could say whatever they wanted about the government, about the Communist Party, about all the rest. So in that respect, you could say that they had free speech. They did. What, of course, they couldn't do. And what would have been incredibly dangerous for them to do was to go out and say that in Red Square or, and of course, try and publish it in a newspaper because no newspaper would, of course, publish such a thing or say that on television because that, you know, doing that on television was impossible because the Communist Party controlled the media, controlled the newspapers, controlled the television, controlled everything. So you could argue on that kind of argument that these people, these left-wing liberal people are making in the United States, that people in the Soviet Union had free speech, all that they were being denied was a platform. It's one of the most stupid and wrong and insidious arguments I have ever seen. If you deny people a platform, then you are denying them their right to free speech. The two go together. Free speech has to be meaningful in order to exist as a right. You have to be able to exercise a right in order for that right to happen, to have any reality. This is well understood legal principle that I am talking about. So let's just do away with that. The other argument that you get is, well, of course, I mean, you know, if you don't like posting on Facebook or posting on YouTube or whichever place, there's all sorts of other little platforms that you can go to instead. And, you know, you can go there despite the fact that whenever one of those platforms tries to get slightly bigger, well, you know, the big ones come and knock them down. But you can't talk about a monopoly because these other smaller platforms exist. Well, again, this shows a basic failure to understand the nature of monopoly. Monopoly is connected to overwhelming market dominance. If you go back to the case which really started it all, which is the Standard Oil case of the early 20th century. Standard Oil did not control every single oil well across the United States. It was not the only company in the United States in the first decade of the 20th century which sold oil and kerosene and oil products. It controlled around 60% of the US oil market. And by the way, its market share at the time when the antitrust action was brought against it because of its abuse of its monopoly position was actually declining. So there was, in fact, and in reality, and I'm sure of this, more diversity in the US oil market at the time when the antitrust action was brought against Standard Oil than I suspect there is in social media today in terms of who could, you know, what kind of platforms could exist. The reality is that there is a very small number of very privileged platforms which dominate the social media space in the United States. And we have just seen from this decision how they are all working with each other. I mean, this isn't just a clear monopoly situation. It is a clear case of a monopoly being used to achieve a certain purpose. I think these two points need to be made. Now, where are the Republicans? The answer is, apart from a few on the sort of Trumpian faction of the party, and of course, the Donald himself, they are nowhere. The Donald is at least trying to bring a court case, and people are ridiculing him for it. But at least he's trying. There are the odd libertarians, but the Republicans as a party are nowhere at all. And going back to what you were talking about, and, you know, we mentioned the ADL. ADL is one of many such NGOs, but it's also a lobbied group. It also arranges or helps or assists for funding to be sent to Congress people, and many other lobby groups do exactly the same. And so, again, you see NGOs which are essentially lobbies and which have interests and influence in Washington and in Congress, they're now working with the tech companies in order to act in the way that they are. It's a straightforward attack, in my opinion, on the First Amendment of the Constitution. And when you say what is going to become of the United States if all of this works its way through, well, I tremble for the United States. I shake for it, because at the moment, all the language is that, you know, we're going to have a struggle for democracies against the struggle for autocracies. I remember a passage in George Orwell's book, Animal Farm, in which you look at the pig, which is supposed to represent the animal, and you look at the human, who is supposed to represent the oppressor, and you can't tell the one apart from the other, because in effect, they become the same. So it's one of the most alarming and dangerous things that I've heard about, and it goes to the root of the foundation of the American Republic. If you'd gone back to the founders, the founding fathers of the of the United States, the people who drafted the Constitution, people like that great journalist, Tom Paine, for example, who left Britain and came and settled in the United States. If you asked Benjamin Franklin and all those sort of people what they thought of this, they would be horrified. They would shudder. They would be astonished that the country that they created is going down this road.
Okay, outside of the United States, how does this work outside the United States? Someone gets flagged on PayPal. Or on Reddit, it goes to PayPal. PayPal cuts off their transaction ability. Facebook deplatforms. Google doesn't let them do A, B, and C. Twitter all the way down the line, right, in this database. But this person lives in Germany, or this person lives in Malaysia. What does that mean?
Right. Let's actually, it's a very good point, actually, because, of course, the important to understand is that the reach of the United States is very long. And for a very, very long time, what we call the internet, it has been based around American companies and American tech companies and American businesses, and has been regulated, in a sense, by American law. And the result is that, in effect, the World Wide Web was created, which was essentially an extension of the American internet. If you live in Germany, that is going to remain the case, because every attempt in Europe to try and set up any kind of alternative has failed. And if you are in Germany, you're going to be affected in the same way, because if you're trying to use the internet from Germany, if you set up your own platform, if you start saying things which some people don't think you should be saying, people in San Francisco and no doubt in Washington and in other places, you could find yourself essentially restricted, thrown off all the big platforms. And I come back to what I said. It's the freedom of speech has to be capable of being exercised in order to be a meaningful right. So you can be thrown off all of these. And of course, you have to use, because the payment platforms, PayPal and the rest, are also American, they're also subject to these rules. So in Germany, in Britain, in France, in all of those sort of countries, you'll be affected by the same, by all of this in the same way as you would be if you lived in the United States. And of course, there is a European Convention on Human Rights, but nobody should have any very high expectations of what the European courts would do. And if we're talking about the European Union, the institutions of the European Union. They will take what the United States, what is happening in the United States, and they will push to take it even further. Because to be very clear about this, all these issues, all these pretexts that have been raised in order to justify creating this database and operating that database in that sort of way, the European Union is even more enthusiastic and even more forceful about implementing. So you're going to see the European Union go in that way even further. But let's take other countries which are not part of what is being referred to in the international media outside the West, increasingly as the collective West. Let's go to Malaysia. What is going to happen is that Malaysia, which is an Asian state, under a certain amount of US influence, let's specifically talk about Malaysia, because Malaysia is in between and betwixt. What you're going to see is that more and more people in places like Malaysia are going to increasingly pick and choose the various internets that they function upon. And in places like Russia, in places like China, I suspect before very long in India too. And remember, India has a massive tech, infrastructure. You're going to see intranets, if you like, being created there in competition to the American one. And it is only a question of time. And, you know, India, it has to be a real possibility where you will find that there's much more freedom to discuss certain things on that intranet than there is on the American one. So this policy is going to lock in the collective West, but it's going to mean, I mean, it clearly is going to mean, we've talked about this many times, the end of the World Wide Web, and you will see some parts of the web, which are going to be much freer than others. I'm going to make a prediction. All the trend in Russia is for the internet to become actually free there. I know that sounds paradoxical, and I know all kinds of laws are passed, but you should be aware of the fact of what a peculiarly tough-minded and libertarian lot many of the people who work on the Russian internet are. I mean, Telegram took on the Russian government and won. I mean, the Russian government wanted to restrict Telegram and force it to share data, and Telegram said absolutely no, and they won. So I would not be surprised if you have eventually a freer internet in Russia, and of course India is again a different level again, and we shall see. But that's what's going to happen. What they are doing with this kind of approach is that they are breaking up the World Wide Web. I've come to the conclusion that they don't care. I think that they realise that the priority now is to control political discourse within the United States and within the American-dominated Western world, and they don't really care about what happens in places like Malaysia anymore. That's my own view.
Yeah, they want to lock in their sphere.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what's happening. All right, we'll leave it there. And on that note, go to theduran.locals.com for a free internet experience there, a censor-free internet experience. You will find all our videos in one place. When I mean all our videos, Duran's videos, Alexander's videos, my videos, all our content is in that community there. And you can also share your own content. So please join us on theduran.locals.com. Go to the Duran shop, 10% off when you use the code REALNEWS, and pick up a shirt, a magic mug, a magic hat. And of course, you can find our videos on free speech video platforms like Odyssey, Rumble, SuperU, and of course, BitChute. All the links are underneath this video. Please join us on those platforms. Take care.